Good morning, everybody. How are you all doing today?
Good.
Good. Wide awake. Hopefully getting some caffeine in the system here shortly or two. I know I did. I thank the Lord most mornings for caffeine. I'll tell you what, with each child, I have enjoyed the flavors and the rich aromas of coffee. And so it gives me the life and the joy and gets me kick-started in the morning. So I'm praising the Lord deeply for that this morning, for the cup I just had. Well, if I have not had a privilege to meet you, if you're a visitor, if you're a newcomer, my name is Jeff Lee. I am not Jeff Ferguson. The older, wiser, more handsome Jeff that's usually here is on vacation right now, so I am filling the pulpit for him. But I'll tell you a little bit, just briefly, what I do. I'm the campus pastor at Christopher Newport, and this is just a little pack of information. If you don't know what RUF is, we are the denomination's missionary agency to colleges. And so we are preaching, teaching, reaching, and equipping college students for Christ. And so that is the joy of what I get to do, reaching many students, faculty, staff on our university campus right around the corner. And I get to love on them all year round and pour my life into them. And when I'm not doing that, many Sundays you may see my beautiful wife, Alicia. She sometimes is in the nursery. But sometimes you don't see me, even though you might see her, because I'm actually pulpit supply. So I'm preaching in churches from the tips of North Carolina all the way to Richmond on a regular basis. So when you guys don't see me, I'm usually filling the pulpits and giving pastors a chance to relax and get some vacation with their family. But you guys support me as a church. You guys care for me as an individual, and you guys make that ministry possible. And I am so grateful for what you guys do for me and caring for me, because I get to pour into a lot of people, a lot of pastors, and a lot of churches. And you guys help make that possible through your donations, your giving, and your prayers. So thank you guys for that. I don't get a chance to always thank you publicly and in front of everybody. So when I get the opportunities, I want to do it, because those things matter. Well, today what we're going to be looking at is we're going to be looking at Psalm 98. We're continuing in our series, and we're looking at a psalm, and we're going to be hitting play on one of the greatest songs in the Psalter. That's one of my personal opinions, a Psalm 98. And it's a joyous psalm. It's a song of celebration where we're going to be singing. There's going to be shouting. There's going to be playing all sorts of musical instruments for the glory of God. And then we're even finishing where the earth gets in on this celebration when God comes back to restore all things that have been broken. Even the earth resounds, it rumbles and quakes for the glory of God, awaiting its creator. And so we get a very upbeat tune to listen to sing, to learn from today. And so I'm kind of excited to dive into this, because this is a very, it's a fun psalm. Oftentimes when I'm doing the psalms, there's a lot of beautiful laments, but this is one of those ones where we get to use a Spinal Tap quote. If you've ever seen this movie, we dial up our praise from 10 to 11 today, because we have reason to, that Jesus is Lord. And so I'm going to tell you where we're going, and then we're going to go there in the passage. So in Psalm 98, we're going to see in verses 1 through 3 that Jesus is our Savior. He's a personal God. So verses 1 through 3, Jesus is our Savior. Verses 4 through 6, we're going to be witness to a great jubilation, a great song that's going to be a lot of people praising, not just individually, but collectively. And they're going to be singing and making music with instruments, because Jesus is our King. He reigns with great equity and justice. And then lastly, in verses 7 through 9, we are going to elevate, and even the earth is going to get in on this great celebration. We're going to see that Jesus is our judge, and that he's a good and faithful judge who distributes righteousness to those who look to him. And so that's where we're going to be going in our passage. But before we go there, let's go to the word and prayer, and just so we can receive this for our hearts. This might not be something we just listen to, but our hearts engage this, because I know this is a passage and a psalm that everything, unlike the Lego song, is not always awesome in our life. And because that's true, this can be a tough psalm to sing. And so because I know that, let's go to the Lord to help us to be able to be in a place where we have reason to sing loudly. And so let's prepare our hearts for that. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, you are faithful. You are kind. Lord, you are good. When we get to dive into your word, Lord, it challenges us. It shapes us. It molds us. And Lord, with all the various forms of the Hebrew poetry and the types of songs and the different styles of the songs that, Lord, we have in the Psalter, today we come to a magnificent praise. Lord, a song of celebration. Lord, and many of us are not always feeling like we have much to celebrate because of some of the sufferings, the difficulties, or just sometimes the mundaneness of our life. And Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, elevate our heart's affections, Lord, to set our vision on something higher than what's just before our feet, and that, Lord, you would lead us to praise because we have reason to praise. And I know not every day of our lives, Lord, we're going to be singing songs like this, dialing up our praise, Lord, to a high level. But Lord, we ought to have days like this when we remember your marvelous acts so that we can sing and even as Presbyterians shout and go wild for your glory. Lord, we love you and we thank you and praise in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to go ahead and read our passage, and then we're going to dive in. And so Psalm 98, verses 1 through 9 says this: "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, with bursting into jubilant song, with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp, and with the harp the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, with the world and all who live. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity." This is the word of the Lord. Recently, I was watching the Discovery Channel, and there was a Discovery Health show that came on, and it was all about singing. And I thought, this is very timely. I'm going to pay attention to this show. And the person who is kind of walking through the show and talking about the beautiful benefits of singing said some interesting things that I actually got a notepad out and I wrote down because I knew this would be helpful. And so the person who was narrating the show said, singing releases endorphins, right? The feel-good chemicals in the brain. But singing also leads to a deep breathing, cycles of taking in higher amounts of oxygen, which obviously causes better circulation. And so it's an aerobic activity, but it's also, singing is a natural stress reducer in a lot of ways because it expresses one's emotion. And if you connect with the lyrics and the words connect, it's even emotive in a way that's describing something maybe we don't have the verbal words for, but it leads us into feeling the emotion and what's going on. And it even said, this is beneficial in isolation individually, like those of us who may sing in the shower loudly because we're worried about the judgment of those around us hearing our voices. But it even says when we sing communally and collective, that even the benefits emotionally and physically are even heightened as we do it in a communal setting, which is good for us. There's a social connection that's going on. And even when we do that as a church, beauty is being emanated from us, and there are beautiful benefits. This helped me understand when I thought about what this person was saying. I went to a Michael W. Smith concert when I was about 9 years, so I'm going to give you my age here if you do the math, and it was about 1994. And in 1994, we were belting out, there's 500-600 of us belting out "Place in This World," Michael W. Smith's song. And let me just read you part of the lyrics. This is what we were to give you the aura of what we were all singing, collective of voices. "Looking for a reason, roaming through the night to find my place in this world. My place in this world. Not a lot to lean on. I need your light to help me find my place in this world, my place in this world. I mean, it was incredibly catchy. As soon as I thought about this, I got back on YouTube and listened to it, and I was singing all over again the beauty and splendor of this Michael W. Smith song. But what these folks in the Discovery Channel show were saying, what they were analyzing, is that that formative experience where we're crying out to God, Lord, we need to know our place in the world because you've placed us. We love you. What we were doing communally, what we were doing singing and praising, there's something biologically beautiful going on, socially wonderful, emotional, but even spiritually, as we are crying out to our God, say, Lord, you are the one who hears our voices and listens, and you are the one who actually is going to be the light in our darkness and who's going to give us place, give us value. And it was a beautiful experience. I have not forgotten that moment from when I was 9 years old. But I had never actually analyzed and thought about what was the beauty of this memory that's so ingrained in my heart and my mind and why it's so beautiful. And I look back on this time so fondly. Singing in community. Singing loudly, owning what was going on in the lyrics and connecting, especially as a 9-year-old boy. And also the fact that we were singing to our God and beautiful praises. The Bible says that this is good, that we sing to our God. The Bible contains over 400 references to singing and over 50 direct commands for us to sing in the Bible and the wonderful 66 books that we have. We're commanded twice in the New Testament to sing even different types of songs with different styles. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And there ought to be a collective and a diversity of how we sing and how we praise and how we worship. And so it's understandable that the psalmist here in Psalm 98 is calling us to sing, but not only just to sing, but to shout, to join in with musical instruments. And even at the consummation when Jesus Christ comes back again, which the Bible says he will, the earth is going to even get in on this awesome psalm and sing with us and resound in great beauty and splendor. Verses 1 through 3 say, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for Israel. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen salvation. And our forgetfulness, our busy nature as people living in a modern world, as we oftentimes forget God, we forget to sing praises, we forget his marvelous acts that he's done for us personally. It says that his salvation has been known and revealed. He has not forgotten, but he has remembered his people, his love, and he pours out his faithfulness. And so we're called in verse 1 to sing a new song, to sing loudly, because God has done marvelous things for a forgetful people. He has remembered us. He has loved us and cared for us. Now, this psalmist, what he's singing about is something pretty monumental. He's singing about the marvelous acts that God did to save the people of Israel from Egypt, from the grips of Pharaoh and his army, which was bearing down on God's people. We have the miraculous 10 plagues that God poured out on Egypt, that God did for his people to provide, protect, and care for them, to set them free. We see the parting of the Red Sea, splitting these walls of water, which I don't think any of us have ever seen done, splitting walls so that the people of God might walk through dry ground in order to reach promised land where they might be safe from a modern and adept army with chariots coming to race and to destroy them. And then closing those walls of water on an Egyptian army, saving the people, men, women, and children. Then God led the Israelites through 40 years in the desert, and he provided for them. And he even led them out by a cloud by day. He didn't just say, all right, you guys wander, you guys make it happen. I got you this far, you guys go the rest of the way. He provided a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, the scriptures say. And then when they needed water because they're in the desert and they're like, we don't have water, we're freaking out, we're all going to die, God provided water from a rock flowing where they hit the staff and water flew and they were cared for. And when they were hungry, what did God do? He provided for the manna which came down afresh, anew, every morning to provide for these people. And even when they forgot their God, like you and I do, serving counterfeit gods often, God still loved his people, poured into them. We have reason to sing a new song because God works marvelous acts. I think about in my life, even for all the things, I have knocked on death's doorstep. If you know my history, this isn't a surprise. And if you don't know my personal history, this might be a surprise. But I've knocked on death's doorstep many a times in my young age, actually, where I should not maybe even necessarily be here. But thank you to modern medical science and the Lord's provision, I am alive and well and still kicking. But the Lord has provided me breath and life, where if I lived maybe 300 years ago, I wouldn't be alive today in any way, shape, or form. I'm grateful for that. I have reason to sing a new song because I breathe before you. I can sing praises to my God. I can tell you about a God who preserves life and who loves and cares. All the times where I've moved or even gotten a call for church ministry or the different places as I raise funds as a missionary to do ministry or to help other people do ministry, the Lord provides time and time again, showing me his faithfulness and that he is alive and that he's good. I will tell you, I have a lot of reasons to sing loudly a new song for God's glory, to celebrate because God is alive. He's done things for you. And the Lord is calling you to remember those things which he's done for you and your family. Set your heart on those things and say, Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your mercy. Because his right hand, his holy arm, has worked on our behalf, just like it has Israel, where he used his military might to protect, provide, to care for his people. And that's why the psalmist is saying, let's remember this. Because there's a lot of days we don't remember this, but we're going to set our heart's affections now, on these moments, on actually doing the work of remembering, so that we can praise our God who is good. But the difference is we sing now because we have New Testament lenses. We no longer just look to the Exodus, but we have an even greater Exodus, not just from slavery, right, political bondage and death, but from sin itself. And eternal security has been won for us because of what? Because of Christ on the cross. We sing with greater gusto, and we have even that possibility than the psalmist because Jesus has come and died for our sins, who gives us new life. Those of us who might be steeped in secret sins, secret pride, pornography, right? The workaholism, the perfectionism that we have, our pridefulness and subtle judginess of those, of people who worship differently than us, who think differently, or maybe are not as theologically as adept as we are. We have a lot of these things, these subtle things, and maybe we put on a good veneer, but in our hearts, there is a lot of sin that we have, that I have. Jealousy, holding on to bitterness or hatred. Whatever it may be, we've got a lot of this stuff in our lives, in our hearts. We have reason to sing because on the cross, Jesus wipes away the penalty of these things that maybe we are still inundated in. He wipes away the penalty of that and gives us mercy, gives us grace. We have reason to lift up our voices. But the other reason we have reason is that our God has never left us. When he ascended after 40 days, he still reigns as king because he poured out his Holy Spirit on his people at Pentecost, and we have that Spirit now. The psalmist says in verse 4 through 6, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Shout, burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing with trumpets, and blast the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King who reigns. We have disobeyed our King. We had, right, one of the Ten Commandments. We don't fulfill those Ten Commandments perfectly. Even if you've broken one, you deserve the mighty king's hammer to drop down on you. Old or young, doesn't matter. But guess what? Shout for joy that holy hammer does not drop down on your head when you look to the person and work of Jesus Christ for your salvation. And you have reason to sing with musical instruments. Like in the Muppet Babies, Animal is just banging and going crazy all the time and loving life and joy. This is an imagery of shouting for joy, making music, and getting your body into it. and worship and saying, Lord, you are worthy to be praised. I have great reasons to bring joy and to shout and to elevate my level of worship to you because you have put on full display your mercy and your kindness, not withholding your greatest thing, which is your son. You gave him up for me. We have reason to sing. Now, this mercy is also, though, in our context, not only for the nation of Israel, because the psalmist is singing this as to the nation of Israel and calling them, but we, in the church age, right, after this time, we also have reason to sing, because this is not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul exclaims in Romans 11 that this mercy is for all of us. We have been engrafted into the olive tree. The Jews had received it first through the prophets and through the patriarchs, but we too are engrafted into these beautiful promises that God gives. This is ours, one people under the nation of God who look to Him, one Savior. This extension of grace to people from every nation, every tribe, every tongue, wherever we go, wherever our missionaries go, wherever we send people, wherever we go, these people, when they look to Jesus Christ, He is their God. And we worship maybe in different styles, in different ways, but we have some things in common that we ought to do, that the book of even Revelation says we ought to do. We ought to use our vocal cords. The musical instruments, whatever they may be, in different countries, different things, right? Different styles, different ways. We ought to use what God has given us, what He's put around us, our gifts. We ought to use these for His glory, to resound in song, because voices alone can't do and sing and project the beauty that is Christ. So therefore, we need musical instruments and we need a collective of voices because our King is gracious and kind and does not exact on us who look to Jesus for salvation the justice that we deserve. We get grace. We don't have a King who forgets His people. He does not turn a deaf ear to us when we cry out for His help. He's a King who extends His love, His loyalty through us, even when we are not loyal to Him. He loves those who look to Him who are both Jew, Gentile, white, black, rich, poor, right? Working class, right? White collar, blue collar, stay-at-home moms, working moms, gamers, athletes, right? All sorts of folks, different spheres of life. The Lord pours out His love on those who look to His Son. And because of that, we ratchet up our service, our love, our singing, our praise even more. But you ask, how can you possibly elevate from a place of already going nuts and, you know, banging stuff and singing and we're already in a choral group? How can you possibly elevate from that, right? Going wild for the Lord and His grace and His goodness. Well, the Bible says that even the earth itself is going to get in on this celebration. That it is not just going to stay subdued in a box. That it's going to get in on this good news and it's going to praise God because He's worthy of it. The psalmist shouts and he says with great conviction and joy, let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. And He will judge the world in righteousness, but also all the peoples with equity. The psalmist says, let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains rumble and shake and quake for the glory of God. You're probably thinking, if you're hearing this maybe for a first time possibly, is what kind of crazy is this psalmist thinking and writing about? Because this is not possible that the rivers can clap, they do not have hands, and the mountains don't have vocal cords, so how is this even possible, right? Well, we're taking human elements, the psalmist is, in a beautiful, artistic, lyrical way. He's ascribing these human elements to non-personal objects and saying, but even they reflect the image of God. The world reflects the image of God. Not just us, the Imago Dei, but even the world reflects God's grandiose being in essence. And even this other image, although maybe not the same as us who are made uniquely and beautiful, the world even itself reflects our Creator And it's going to get involved in this song. Because the reality is that the Lord is coming back not just to redeem and to save us people, which he is, but he's also coming to restore and redeem the world when Jesus Christ comes back again for a second time. And that this world, which is broken, and we read about in the news all the crazy things, right? We have hurricane season coming up now, and the destruction, who knows what will come with that? We see the destruction of the world, but yet this world will also be recreated. And the world longs for this and cries out for completion to be restored from its brokenness, as we do too. Romans 8 says, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time is not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For creation itself was subjected to the futility, not willingly, but because of him, Adam, who subjected it, in hope that creation itself would be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, right, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." That the waiting is painful, that this life, the in-between, Jesus' resurrection and his consummation when he comes back, the waiting can be painful and difficult. And there's groaning that goes on. I will tell you as a small illustration of this, when Alicia and I, we go to the YMCA just down the road, right by the James River Bridge, and we drop off our fantastic children for about 45 minutes so we can have some mental mommy and daddy time and get some working out and things like that. And there's a lot of groaning that often goes when we turn them over to the nursery because they don't want to leave mom and dad. The waiting is painful. They're longing for us. But I'll tell you what, when we come back to pick up JJ and Lily, let me tell you what that celebration can look like. They'll be playing with a toy, something like that. And we'll say, mommy or dad will say, JJ, Lily. They will violently throw down the toy, turn around and, mommy, daddy. Or maybe it's not even actually words. It's just groaning going on. And they will cry out. It is jubilation. Their whole body is getting into it. And they're saying, mommy and daddy are here to bring us back, to take us. Safety, security, love, joy. And they're excited. This is a picture of the final consummation that we're getting in this passage. That God is good, that he comes back. He will save. He will restore all that's broken. All things that are broken, including the world. And the world is getting in on this and saying, I want in on that too. I want to celebrate what you guys are celebrating because that's also my creator. And that is what we're being called to. We long for a day where we won't have to work ourselves to the point of burnout, right? We long for the day where we'll be maybe finally accepted by our mom or our dad or our husband or our wife or our boyfriend or girlfriend or our coach or our teacher, whatever it is, that we would be accepted just because of who we are and not that we have to perform for them, but just because of how we're made. Many of us maybe even long and we wait for the day where we can look in a mirror and love our bodies as our own, that they are wonderfully, fearfully made. Some of us maybe long to find our place and status in this world, that we would know that we are secure, that this is where God has us, that he loves us, and there's nothing we can do, no pedigree, no former letters before our name that's going to secure us in a way that God secures us. Maybe we long for that. Maybe some of us long just to be significant in the eyes of others. We long for many things just like creation longs to be restored. Maybe there's things I didn't even note that you long for. But the Lord says, when I come back, you have reason to sing. You will have reason to shout. You will have reason to go crazy and make wonderful sounds, making a joyful noise, which maybe it's more noise, right, than anything, because God has come back for you. He has not forgotten you, and he loves you, and he has come to save you. I know we don't always have days where we feel like this is true. But the psalmist is saying we ought to have days where we remember the marvelous acts of God so that we can, as verse 1 says, sing a new song. Because I know the songs most of y'all sing most day are a lot of times going through motions and mundane, just life. And he's saying, guess what? Some days we ought to reflect on the goodness and greatness of who God is for us now and forevermore. And that ought to actually lead us into worship and ways of singing, of shouting, not caring what people think about us or how we look at others, but because we're so enamored with who God is and what he's done and what he's going to continue to do, we give him praise. May the Lord continue to break those chains from you, those things that you long for, that you look for. May he give you healing. May he provide for you a deep joy when you feel like there's days you don't have that joy. Because we have a reason that God has fulfilled this. He's coming back again to restore all things and to make all things new. For as the Bible says, his words are trustworthy and true. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are faithful and you are kind, Lord, when we are faithless. Lord, I know sometimes, Lord, some of the shouting, this kind of going wild with instruments and even the earth resounding, Lord, can sound like crazy talk sometimes. But Lord, when we think about the beauty, what you've done for us, the levels of messed up motivations we have, the hurtful and messed up things we've said that we've done, that we've not yet done, but we will do. And Lord, we think that and we realize we will never pay the penalty of these things, but yet we get grace and mercy. That our families, that our children get grace and mercy when they look to you. Lord, that ought to lead us to praise, to singing songs of great joy. Lord, you have paid a heavy price for this, Lord Jesus. Lord, may we never lose, Lord, our wonderment and our joy that, Lord, you paid that price for us. Your blood was spilt so our blood, Lord, could be contained. Lord, we love you. We thank you for what you've done, what you will continue to do for us and for the future generations, Lord. We love you. We give you all praise and all honor. And all God's people said, amen.